Two words have come from our lips many times in the last few days and few hours. Perhaps these two more than any other two words that we have used. The two words are making music. We've even mentioned it already here this morning as we have welcomed you. Many of you are in the area because of the program on campus of making music. I assume most of us that are here this morning were at one of the sessions Friday or yesterday, or I think even maybe before Friday under some circumstances. We are aware of the idea of making music. I would suggest to you that a part of our worship this morning is making music. Now, granted, circumstances are a bit different, and the sounds are not exactly alike. But the Bible has a lot to say about making music in our worship to God. I hope you noticed in the passage that Michael read from John 4 a moment ago that God wants us to worship Him. God seeketh such to worship Him. He is not dependent upon us. He could get along without any of us or all of us. But God made man. He made him in his own image. He made him for a purpose. And part of that purpose was to worship him. God seeketh men to worship him. This passage also indicates that God has authorized us to do certain things because our worship is to be in spirit and it is to be in truth. I would hope that we would emphasize that idea of worshiping in spirit on a regular basis. I wish we could have the same level of enthusiasm in our work and worship for the Lord that we sometimes see, especially as we have seen in other areas in the last few hours. I wish we could get somewhat excited. Everything in decency and in order, surely, but somewhat excited about our worship to God and about our lives for Him. We also recognize that, as it is indicated here in this passage, that our worship is to be in truth. We want it to be according to truth. We want it to be according to God's will. We want it to be what He has authorized. We do not wish to add to, we do not wish to take away from the authority that God has given us on any subject, and particularly as we think about worship this morning. Making music. If you're reading from the NIV version in Ephesians 5:19, you'll find those words. If you're reading from the King James or from the New King James that's in our pews, you'll find the words making melody in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Those are the words with which we have become accustomed through the years, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. The word make simply means to produce. The word melody is usually defined as a sweet and agreeable set of sounds. Sweet and agreeable. What we are to do in our worship needs to go up as a sweet-smelling savor or sacrifice to God. And it needs to be done in a way that is agreeable. Agreeable with His word and agreeable to Him. Making melody. Making music. I would call your attention this morning particularly to four passages of Scripture. From those four passages of Scripture, we want to draw some observations, make some observations, and draw some conclusions. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace or gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 2:12. saying, I will declare thy name unto the brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee. And Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Notice first of all that we are to make music to someone. Our music is to go in the direction of God, but it is also to go in the direction of one another. In Ephesians 5:19, notice he says that it is to be to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 also points out to the Lord. Hebrews 2:12 says, unto thee. And Hebrews 13:15 says, to God and to his name. Our worship is to go to God. Our praise is to be to his name. And one of the ways that he has authorized for us to praise his name is through singing. We are blessed here at Henderson with outstanding singing. We have an outstanding song leader in Gary and many others who also do an outstanding job in leading the singing. We are blessed at almost every service with a large number of young men and young women. When all these voices are put together, we have what I believe to be some of the best singing that I've ever heard. But even in instances when it may not be at that level, our singing is to be directed to God. And when we do our best as individuals and as a congregation, that is acceptable in the sight of God. But our singing is to be to God. We are to make music to him. However, there is the indication here that there is a sense in which we sing to one another, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, he says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I will declare thy name unto the brethren, he says in Hebrews 2 and verse 12. And so at the same time that we are praising God with our singing, we are also teaching and encouraging one another by our singing. Our songs that we've sung already today certainly have had some elements of teaching in them, talking about Christ and our adoration for him. But also our singing, particularly the last song that we sing, is a song that admonishes us to sing. And sometimes we need that admonition because sometimes some of us who claim to be Christians don't sing. We just sit and do not sing praises to God. We are to teach and admonish one another. Some of our greatest lessons may come from our singing. And there are times, I'm sure, that the songs that we sing may leave us with more meaning and be more helpful to us than the sermon that is presented. Our singing is a very, very important part of our worship to God. We are to make music to God, and we are to sing to one another in teaching and admonishing one another. God doesn't stop there in just telling us to sing. He gives us some guidelines as to what he wants and how he wants it done. Jesus emphasized the importance of this in passages like Mark 7. He talked about the Pharisees and scribes there, and he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Emphasizing even in that verse that both the lips and the heart are to be involved in our worship to God. He commented on that and said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He said, they lay aside and reject the commandments of God, that they may hold to the traditions of men. And so Jesus emphasized there, as is emphasized in our four verses that we are considering this morning, that our making of music is to be of the right kind and done in the right way. Notice particularly in Hebrews 13:15 that he says that the praise that we are to give to God continually is the fruit of our lips. That certainly can include prayer and might include even our studying God's Word, using our lips to teach God's Word and to praise Him in that sense. But particularly in this setting, it's talking about singing, at least in three of the four verses that we are considering today. Also, the word sing itself indicates that there is to be the use of the vocal cords. There is no other way that singing can be produced. And so when he tells us to sing in Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 2:12, and in other passages like the one where Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also, he necessarily implies there that we are to use our vocal cords to produce music. Music that is well-pleasing in the sight of God. So we are to sing with our vocal cords, producing singing, and present that singing as the fruit of our lips. That's the kind of music that God has ordained and authorized in His Word. He also tells us that we are to sing using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of the songs that were used last night in making music would not be appropriate for us today in making music. And the way in which those songs were produced and the way in which music was produced last night would not be appropriate and fit into the pattern of God's Word in our service this morning. However, God still emphasizes that we are to make music unto Him. Any psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, any poem that is put to music, that stays within the boundary of God's Word and presents something that will help us to either praise God or teach or admonish one another in spiritual areas would certainly be acceptable unto God. And the kind of music that He wants is for us to sing. I think sometimes we do not understand the importance of the point. It may very well be that understanding this is important in helping us to understand many things in the Word of God. Because you see, if we are at liberty to change the way that God has authorized for us to make music, add to that or substitute for it or take away from it, by the same authority, we could take away what we use as the elements in the Lord's Supper, or we could add other elements to the Lord's Supper, or change it in other ways. And that would apply to every area of worship and every area of life. If we do not appreciate and respect that which God has authorized, particularly when He has given us the specifics that He wants us to use, if we ever leave that, there is no stopping place. Therefore, we believe that it is not right to use mechanical instruments to make music in worship. I would suggest to you that whistling does not do what God has said. Humming is not singing. The clapping of hands during singing is no different, in my opinion, from beating upon a drum during singing. One is live skin, the other is dead skin. Using the human voices to make the sounds of mechanical instruments, to say the least, leaves the wrong impression. And one who is using his voice to do that cannot at that same time be singing, which is a commandment. And so when you add two and two, you get four. And by using just a little bit of common sense, especially with the authorization that is given in the Word of God, we see that God has authorized us in our making of music in worship to sing. And that's the only kind of music for which we have authority. But there is another aspect of it by you looking at the little preposition in. Not only are we to sing, but we are to make melody in the heart. That's where the melody is to be made, and that's the seat from which God wants our worship to come. make melody in the heart. If you simply voice words without thinking about what you're singing, when you're through, you do not even remember what you have said. You've just gone through the motion. Is it possible that you're not making melody in the heart? If you have your mind on something else while we are singing, where is the melody that ought to be in the heart? The fruit of the lips is that which we express to God and by which we teach one another. But the melody that's in the heart gives us the proper setting from which our worship goes to God and at the same time benefits us, making melody in the heart. That's where God wants us to worship Him. And folks, I think that's just another reason that we can understand, or helps us to understand, why singing is the kind of music that God wants. Because other ways of making music do not really get us as involved in the melody in the heart, and the fruit of the lips, as simply singing praises unto God. God has told us that we are to let our worship and making of music go to Him. It is to be with the lips and with the vocal cords. It is to be in the heart, making melody in the heart. And the Colossian passage says, with grace in the heart. Some translations make that gratitude. With appreciation in our hearts for all that God has done for us, out of that appreciation should just bubble and flow the words of our singing as we praise God and as we teach and admonish one another. Perhaps we need also to emphasize the personal pronoun that is used in 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will sing with the spirit and with the understanding. Nobody else can do that for you. No one else can do it for me. The same passage says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And as beautiful as congregational singing is, sometimes so beautiful that we just like to sit back and listen, we need to also understand that to God, the voice of each one of us, not compared to somebody else's singing, but the voice of each one of us, the fruit of the lips of each one of us, coming from a heart of gratitude where melody is being made, is pleasing in the sight of God. That's the kind of music that God wants us to make in worship. And He emphasizes that He wants us to make music. Singing and making melody are making music in your heart to the Lord. What a beautiful part of worship it is. Let us respect the guidelines that God has given, but then let us do everything that we can to constantly improve our singing and our worship to God as we teach and admonish and encourage one another. There's really nothing that is more beautiful than Christian voices blending together to sing praise to God. And we need to appreciate the opportunity. We need to appreciate every opportunity and take advantage of every opportunity to do just like that. To be a child of God, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we have Him as our Savior, to know that we can constantly praise Him with our voices and with our lives is one of the most needed things that can happen to any of us in life. Just being a Christian and worshiping God as He has directed is so important. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you been singing out of the heart of a Christian as we've been worshiping God? Jesus tells us how we can be Christians. We must believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and then rise, as did the Philippian jailer, with joy, go on our way, as did the Ethiopian eunuch, with joy in our hearts, and out of that joy will come singing of praises to God. And if you've begun that Christian life and you're not living it, you need forgiveness. God will forgive and help you to get your heart right, as Peter told Simon he needed to get his right, who pray to God as penitent, confessing believers, God will forgive. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. If you're not, we persuade you to come as together we stand and sing.
Haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul.